Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q3 FY24 results conference call of CEAT Limited, hosted by Emkay Global Financial Services. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Chirag Jain, Emkay Global Financial Services. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Viren. Good evening, everyone. On behalf of Emkay Global, I would like to welcome you all for CEAT Q3 FY24 post-results conference call. From the management team, we have with us today Mr. Arnab Banerjee, MD and CEO, Mr. Kumar Subbiah, CFO, and the investor relations team. We will start with the opening comments from the management on business updates, followed by financial highlights. Post that, we will open the floor for Q&A. Over to you, sir.
Good afternoon and welcome to CEAT's Quarter 3 FY24 earnings call. I'll be taking you through the business updates for the quarter, and then I shall hand over the call to Kumar for his remarks on financial performance. After that, we'll be opening the floor for Q&A. First, I'll talk about the volume performance. Growth momentum was good for Quarter 3, with a 12.5% volume growth over last year. All three market segments, OEM, replacement, and international business, have done well. International business has grown by 25% YOY, led by passenger car tires and two-wheelers. On the off-highway side, tractor tire volumes remain subdued, but other off-highway applications have shown good growth. In terms of geographies, we had some headwind in Europe, but other areas did well. Replacement did well with 11% YOY growth, led by growth in two-wheeler segment. Commercial and passenger segment growths were also healthy. OEM volumes grew by 9%, again led by the surge in two-wheeler production. We continued to do well on the commercial side. Passenger car tire volumes were impacted by the small-size exits that we spoke about last time, and we are gradually ramping up higher rim sizes tires over the quarters. Quarter 3 is seasonally a weak quarter for us. In line with historical trends, our volumes degrew 1.7% over Quarter 2, primarily because of degrowth in OEM segment. Other segments were more or less flattish with mild positive growth. We have done well in PC in passenger market share. We have been growing from 11% in FY19 to 16% now, and even last quarter, we had a significant growth in market share in replacement Q3 on Q2. We also gained market share in scooter in replacement in Q3 on Q2, and market shares for motorcycle tires and truck tires were flat. Demand outlook seems steady. Inflation has moderated. All high-frequency indicators are stable. Kharif output is estimated to be lower. However, Rabi sowing has been normal. We are hopeful and positive on overall economic prospects. 2024 will see probably a slower OEM growth because of the high base effect. However, in replacement and international business, we expect decent volume growth. During the year, we have seen double-digit growth for scooter tires in replacement, mid-single-digit growth for passenger tires, motorcycle tires, and commercial vehicles, and we expect the growth rates to be on similar lines. Commodity basket increased by about 2.5% vis-à-vis Quarter 2, in line with our expectations. This was largely led by crude derivatives and natural rubber. The prices have been range-bound since the last couple of months, so for Q4, we expect RM costs to be in line with the current quarter. We have largely been able to maintain our selling prices in replacement market. In OEM market, the indexation-related changes happen quarter to quarter, and we have made some price corrections in export market to be competitive. The drop in margin Q-on-Q was made up through operational efficiencies, so the drop in EBITDA margin was less than the drop in gross margin. Capacity utilization overall 75% to 80% with higher utilization on the TBR side. Healthy margins and higher utilization helped us to report double-digit post-tax ROC as well. We continue to focus to improve capital productivity and efficiency, and this is giving long-term sustainable results. We are future-ready. We have been maintaining our stand on four megatrends: electrification, internationalization, premiumization, and digital. On electrification, we maintained our strong share of about 40% of OEM business, including the startup models. In the passenger side, we have now participation in EV models of Mahindra, MG, PSA, and we are also engaged with Tata, Kia, BYD as well. In the commercial side, EV, Tata, Olectra, Volvo, Eicher, Mahindra, PMI, etc. Are brands which we are engaged with. Also, three-wheelers like Altigreen, Euler, Evage, etc. In international, we have had a robust growth in quarter three, as we talked about. We also plan to further accelerate the growth with product launches in off-highway, passenger, as well as TBR tire. Our US GTM rollout plan is on time with PCR and TBR, launching with 150-plus SKUs in US. Sri Lanka macro situation is normalizing and tire demand has improved significantly. The saliency of export, we will try to push up from 18-19% to 25% in 2 to 3 years, which means almost doubling of our export. Premiumization, we have recently launched at the top of two-wheeler portfolio, we have launched SEAT motorcycle steel radial, and we would like to cover this range right up to 1,000cc plus superbikes. During Q3, we launched the Play on Any Terrain campaign for four-wheeler tires on digital medium, and it had close to 11 million views. The SEAT premium range of passenger tires, cross-drive, sport-drive, secure-drive, and secure-drive SUV are doing well with increasing saliency. Our spend towards brand building is consistent in the 2% range year after year, which also happens to be the highest in the industry. Our R&D spend is one of the highest in the industry, and we intend to keep the spend on marketing and R&D on a sustainable basis at this level or even higher going forward. We will be focusing on launching new products at the premium end based on customer needs. Off-highway and premium passenger tires, including SUVs for India and export markets, would see the most activities. We have about 160 patents filed, out of which 33 have been granted. On the ground, about 340 exclusive outlets were present in FY21, which has since grown to 550 by end of by this year. Our sales touch points have improved to 55,000 in 2 years and will keep expanding the reach. Our share, our coverage for premium, super premium luxury cars, which is BMW, Audi and Mercedes, is now in the range of 85% to 90%, and we would like to keep the coverage at this level with introduction of new models by the OEMs. On digitalization, we will continue to horizontally deploy the lighthouse related gains of our Halol plant to Chennai plant and Nagpur plant through implementation of Industry 4.0 concepts of advanced analytics models, which will help us immensely in efficiencies and reducing energy consumption. On the customer side, we would like to be engaged digitally in the right context. We have had 1.5 times higher searches on the SEAT brand for SUVs. Overall 50% increase in brand searches. 77% increase in van conversion volume, 143% increase in average engagement per post compared to FY23 baseline. We are generating about 8% passenger tire sales directly from D2C channels, and now we have about 1 million visitors per month on our website. Our capex is going to be around 800 to 825 crores for FY24. The expansion projects are all on plan. And we want to reiterate our strategy of doing bite-sized capex every year, which will help us to maintain a steady growth while maintaining the financial ratios. We are committed to sustainability, and in the 9 months YTD FY24, our tons per CO2 emissions reduced by 13% YOY. 35% of our plant power requirement is tied to renewable sources, and this will increase further during FY24. Water consumption per metric ton in has already reduced by 5.5%. Natural rubber sourced by alternate source is today 24%. We have also been able to reduce the rolling resistance of our tires by about 10%. Overall demand situation is good. RM is stable. We are hopeful of this benign macro situation to continue, and we look forward to further strengthen the SEAT brand through our marketing and R&D investments. We are also striving to improve our cost efficiency and capital productivity continuously and aim to deliver market-leading returns. Now, I would like to hand over the call to Kumar for his remarks.
Thank you, Arnab. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for joining our Quarter 3 FY24 earnings call. I'll share some further financial data points with you, post which we can enter a Q&A session. First, on financial performance, our consolidated net revenue for the quarter stood at ₹2,963 crores, year-on-year growth of about 8.7%, driven largely by volume growth, and quarter-on-quarter we observed some minor drop due to seasonality of the business. Next, on gross margin, raw material basket observed an increase of about 2.5% in quarter 2 FY24. This, along with some minor price correction in the international markets and adverse product mix, led to gross margin contraction to the tune of about 202 basis points on quarter, while there has been substantial improvement in gross margin vis-a-vis the same period of last year. Crude has increased more than, had increased more than $90 to $95 range, operated largely $90 to $95 range in the first 2 months of the previous quarter, but corrected the later part of the last quarter to range of $75 to $80 since December. And in the last 1 month or so, natural rubber prices have increased by about $120 in the international market, and the same is reflected in the local market. And rupee has more or less remained stable in the range of 83 to 83.35 rupees. Considering these factors, we expect raw material basket to be range-bound in quarter four. Coming to capex, cash flow and working capital, our capex outflow during the quarter was about 215 crores. And cumulatively, we have spent 605 crores in the first 9 months. We expect our capex for the year to be in the range of, as Arna mentioned, the 800 to 820 crores on a full year basis. Now, working capital during the quarter went down by about 111 crores, driven largely by improvement in receivables and enlarged payables. And I'm happy to share with you that we ended the quarter with negative working capital about 249 crores. Our operating cash flow during the quarter and also in the first 9 months has been very healthy. Our consolidated debt stood at 1,729 crores. A reduction of about 162 crores in quarter 3 versus quarter 2. In the first 9 months of the current financial year, our gross debt has come down by 363 crores and by rupees 618 crores in the last 12 months. With a drop in our debt and with a healthy generation of cash profit in the first 9 months of the current year, our key leverage ratios like debt to EBITDA on a consolidated basis stood at a healthy level of 1.05, and debt equity further improved to 0.44. Coming to operational expenses, our employee costs during the quarter largely remained at same levels as quarter two. Other expenses were reduced by about 9%, largely in our distribution costs, factory operating costs, marketing advertisement costs, which helped to bridge the gap in the gross margin versus last quarter to an extent of 50%. Better control of our operating expenses is flowing through in the EBITDA number as well. Update on Sri Lanka business. Our Sri Lanka business reported strong growth in revenue and profits year on year. This gives us a confidence that the business is progressively getting back to pre-economic crisis period. the Sri Lankan currency has also stabilized with a positive bias towards appreciation in the last 3 months. Depreciation and interest costs were largely similar in quarter three as was in quarter two. Effective interest rate has largely remained the same in line with quarter two, and we expect interest rate to remain at similar level in the coming quarter two. Overall, our consolidated EBITDA margins for the quarter stood at 14.14%, an improvement of about 541 basis points year on year and a drop of about 89 basis points quarter on quarter. Our consolidated profit after tax for the quarter stood at 179.76 crores, which compares favorably with rupees 34.85 crores of the same period of last year. Our profit after tax for the first 9 months stood at 531.49 crores versus 49.97 crores in the previous year. I'd like to give an update on the credit rating. The credit rating agency CARE carried out annual surveillance for the in the month of December and confirmed credit rating of AA for long term and A1 plus for the short term with stable loan. With this, we can now open the floor for Q&A. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Ashin Modi from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. So, congratulations on the recent set of numbers. So my first question is regarding your improvement with your balance sheet. You have reduced your debt to almost 600 crores now. So now with the RM basket remaining stable and you are also CapEx being in the 800 to 1000 crore range, do we expect to continue to reduce our debt level, or do we expect to invest into our business? How do we expect it going forward?
You know, we'll continue to, you know, focus on efficiencies in working capital and cash profit that we will generate to fund all our CapEx program. In the last quarter, we also managed to bring our working capital by 100 crores. Now we are at minus 250 crores level. Okay, so while our endeavor is to keep it at this level, okay, it, at some point in time we have to bring it back to the normal levels. So we expect the debt to stay more or less at the current level or with bias towards some drop in the next quarter. Sometimes advance tax payment, final tax payment play some role in the cash outflow. So maybe at current level, I think we are comfortable at debt EBITDA 1. Okay, so we may maintain at current level.
Thank you. My second question is regarding the profitability in the export business. So you mentioned that you've taken some price cuts in the market, and now with the Red Sea crisis increasing our freight cost. So how do we expect our profitability in the international business to happen going ahead?
The export business is margin accretive even at this moment. All the product categories, which is agri radial, passenger radial, and truck bus radial have a superior margin profile. So it makes sense to push for volumes in export markets at a moderate price cut, and which we did in quarter three. And we have achieved a volume hike of 25% YOY. So we will continue to push for overall mix saliency hike of export in all geographies for all categories.
And so lastly, could you give us some color on the demand outlook for different segments in the domestic replacement market going forward?
Yeah, so domestic replacement market, if you see, most of the categories, commercial, motorcycle and passenger car tires are growing in volume terms in single digit, somewhere around mid-single digits so far, and it will continue to do that. The outlier is the scooter tire category, where the growth is in double digit. So that's the trend, and we expect this trend to continue for at least some time.
Thank you. I'll join back.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jinesh Gandhi from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. A couple of questions from my side. One is, when you're talking of double-digit growth in replacement, this is predominantly driven by the scooter segment and other segments remaining fairly high, mid to high single-digit growth. That's the underlying expectation, or there's something else to that?
Replacement market, are you talking of the quarter three growth?
No, going forward.
Industry or CF?
First for industry and in that context, CF.
Okay, so, yeah. So we are, if you talk of YOY growth, we have been seeing YOY growth across segments. Yes, it is higher in the two-wheeler segments, in motorcycle and scooter. In scooter, the market is growing well, and we have been gaining market share in Q3 over Q2. We have gained market share in replacement. We have gained market share in replacement in passenger also, and passenger, as I said, is growing in mid-single digits as well. So, and in TBR, we have a small base, single-digit market share. So we, on a small base, we expect to grow handsomely in TBR as well. So our Q3 volume growth has been across segments and in replacement, and we expect to grow like that in the coming quarters as well.
Okay, but in industry, you expect to grow in mid to high single digit on the replacement side.
On the industry, as I said, is mid single digit for most categories. But scooter tires is an outlier, which is growing in double digits.
Okay, that was for industry. Got it. Yeah. And second question pertains to exports. So given that we are looking to double our exports in the next 3 years, would it be largely led by taking share from Chinese imports in your end markets, or you are also expecting reasonably good growth in the end markets as well?
But there is an impact of the availability of the Chinese market. There is protection in many of the markets. However, our positioning in the in let's say truck bus radial or passenger radial is primarily in the value segment. What I mean is the value segment is, If the top end European brands are at 100 euros, the Chinese would be typically at 40-45 euros. The Koreans will be about 80 euros. So we'll be around the Korean or slightly lower than that. So a long distance away from the Chinese brand. And during recessionary conditions, usually there is a downtrading that happens. So we expect to get those benefits, and we are still in a growth stage. So we expect to keep growing as we get market access in different markets of Europe and US.
Got it. And lastly, when we are looking at doubling of exports and increasing share of exports and reasonably good growth in the domestic replacement segment, whereas OE is expected to grow at slightly lower pace, in that context, how do we see margin evolution from where we are at 14% where we are today? The mix improvement on its own should lead to higher margins than where we are today, or you see some pressure on margins from where we are today?
So as we said, the raw material position is flattish. That's number one. And yes, we were trying to improve the mix in terms of businesses and product market combination. So we expect the margins to be mostly range bound within a narrow range. I don't think we should expect any significant upswing or downswing in the near future.
Got it. Thanks, I'll fall back in queue.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Siddhartha Bera from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thanks for the opportunity and congrats on a good set of numbers. Sir, replacement growth of 11%, can you break it down into segment-wise how it was like PV, two-wheeler and truck?
So Q-on-Q, we grew about 11%, you're right. As I mentioned, we have grown across the segments. So commercial category growth is in low double digits, and so it is for passenger. These are all volume growths. The outlier here is again two-three-wheeler, where we have grown in excess of 20%. We have seen some headwind in farm tires, so that growth is in single digit.
So, sorry, this is YOY growth, right? Not QOQ.
This is YOY, correct.
Yeah. Okay. And sir, the second question then is, on this ASP, we have seen a fair amount of correction quarter-on-quarter. So, why is it like that? And, I mean, will it fully normalize if the growth levels also normalize going ahead, or how should we look at it?
Yes.
Can you please repeat your question?
The ASP. So we have seen nearly close to 1.7% correction in the ASP selling prices.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So, why is that then? Yeah.
Yeah. And so as I mentioned, the ASP is actually pretty stable, barring some drops in the international markets, which I mentioned. In OEM, we pass on the benefits through indexation, as you know. So that happens sort of automatically quarter-on-quarter. About 70% of our OEM volumes are indexed to underlying raw material prices. And replacement ASP is flattish. So with the raw material remaining flat, I don't see any big change in ASP, barring business mix related changes. In terms of pricing, I don't see as of now significant changes happening.
Okay. Okay. So second question is on this international side. You mentioned nearly 25% volume growth on a YOY basis. But the business mix which you share, it shows that the export mix is 18% in the first 9 months, and in the first half it was 19%. So it seems to have fallen down and is not sort of going up in line with what volume growth we are seeing. Why is that? Just wanted to reconcile.
Yeah. So our export volume growth Q-on-Q is mildly positive. It's flattish actually, right? So, as I mentioned, there are some headwinds in Europe, where we have a decent base of agri radial tires. And passenger radial tires, what happens is that during this quarter, the consumers change over from summer tires to winter tires. So at that point of time, there's a pause in offtake because they have those winter tires in their homes, which they just flip. And the volume growth of passenger is likely to come back again in quarter four.
Got it. Got it. So lastly, on this working capital, right now you are pushing more on the exports. Generally, do we expect working capital levels to go up, or these are like the sustainable levels which you expect to continue, going ahead?
With the recent situation in terms of longer transit times or sailing time, so there will be some impact. Receivables would go up because of that. However, you know, in the overall scheme of things, it may not have much of an impact.
Okay.
On the working capital side. There will be some impact, but it won't be material.
Okay. Got it, sir. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aditya Rathi from Aequitas Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity, sir. Firstly, my question is around the CapEx. So, if you can give us a brief idea about the various commission timeline of the 800 crore CapEx. And secondly, also, if you can explain the 1,000 crore CapEx that has been announced for FY 2025, various areas where we would be spending this money, that would be helpful. Thank you.
So, I think, 800 crore CapEx is the total CapEx outlook that we've given for this year. And this includes, it's a combination of project CapEx as well as routine. Okay, in this 800, marginally about 200 crore is our normal routine CapEx, which is, say, CapEx on R&D, CapEx on molds, CapEx on IT, some plant related CapEx, which is normally would be in that range, around 200-225 crore. 800 crore largely is the project related, minus 200 crore is largely project related. Okay, so, during the course of the year, we had completed or we invested in some of the projects which are ongoing. For example, the downstream road for a two-wheeler in Nagpur, something in PCR, passenger car at Chennai, and some CapEx in specialty tires. So these were all ongoing project CapEx proposals we incurred. I think, so we'll continue to incur. You know, overall, in the last four or five years, about 5,200 crore worth of CapEx has been approved. Against that, we have spent little over 4,000 crore so far,
and on an ongoing basis we'll continue to spend on downstream where upstream has been completed, depending on our immediate demand. 1,000 crores is more an estimate, which anyhow we'll fine tune during an annual plan and get back. Would be the kind of a number that we will have to keep incurring, assuming that we grow at the current level, considering we are our capital intensive business. However, we don't have a complete breakup for 1,000 crores as our annual plan discussion is under progress, and by end of the current quarter we'll complete it for us to break that into various projects and also various categories.
Got it. So basically the commissioning of all this project happens during the year only. We do not have any specific date when a majority of the capex will come on stream. Is that the right understanding?
See, all the projects that we had announced so far, okay, we already commissioned, okay, and some of them we have completed. Halol truck and bus radial was commissioned and completed already. We have completed the entire capex. And two-wheeler tires at Nagpur, we are at the last 5% stage in terms of downstream. Otherwise, 520 crores or so we have already incurred, completed. We are left only with last 30 crores. Passenger car radial tires at Chennai, where we committed about 2,066 crores to create some passenger car radial tire capacity. There, capex cash flow part more or less completed, but execution in terms of commissioning is still pending. But we still have another 200 crores to spend there. And truck and bus radial that we announced, that we went slow, involving about 700 crores of capex. As we speak, we would have completed about 260, 270 crores and balance. It's something which in the end of second quarter of next financial year we will complete, and we'll keep incurring as we ramp up assets. And last one is in our specialty, we have increasing the capacity from 95 tons to about 155, or 105 tons to 155 tons, which is in progress. We'll incur that, and maybe later part of next year we'll complete that project. So these are the projects that are in progress, and some of them have been completed and few of them are work in progress.
Got it. Thank you for the detailed explanation. So secondly, my question was around the steel radial tire initiative that we launched 5 days back. So what is the kind of market that we are targeting, given that this is a new product segment for India? And what are the export opportunities that we can see in this segment? Because my understanding is that premium tires would typically, we would look for global sales of this product as well.
Okay, so the objective of launching this tire was focused towards the domestic market. Primarily motorcycle, which is completely biased. About 3% of this is absolute top-end motorcycle steel radials, where we have started seeing some activity from domestic players, and a lot of tires are imported because of inadequate supply in the domestic market. So to start with, it is 3%, but we are seeing a big consumer trend of stepping up the bikes that they are purchasing, and in terms of consumer behavior from just commuting to actually cruising from Mumbai to Pune or Delhi to Agra or wherever, even going to Ladakh with their bikes. So there is on-road, there is off-road, and going at very high speeds on the highways. So so this kind of behavior will add fillip to this growth of 3% saliency. This will increase in saliency very much in the next 5 years. So this is the market that we are trying to address. Feeding this market is also OEM bike development. For example, there are two bikes already launched by Royal Enfield, 650cc and 450cc. Both of them have been launched on CF motorcycle steel radials. There are similar lineups from other OEMs. So there is a lot of activity going to happen with the OEMs and replacement market first in domestic. Coming to export, yes, there is an opportunity, but first we will focus on domestic before looking at the export market.
Got it. Sir, and lastly, my question is slightly near term. Given that you have guided and the demand in replacement segment is good, and we expect the same to continue for next year, so is there any further scope for increasing realization in the replacement segment especially?
I think we are looking at a stable situation at this point of time. It also depends on competitive activity. Yes, we do have now, when I say we, Seat as well as our competitors, do have some leeway as compared to the past on pricing, because the industry is changing to that extent. But my view is that it will be a period of stability rather than significant increase in top line, in sales realization. However, business mix related improvements are definitely possible and will gun for.
Got it. Thank you for answering my question. I will come back in the queue.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vishal from Swan Analytical Instruments Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question, sir. Sir, I have couple of questions. Sir, you said that you have taken pricing correction in domestic OEM as a measure to pass on the RM benefit, depending on the indexation. So at current price level, is the pass on complete or there is some portion of pass on still remaining?
Yeah, so this is computed at the end of the quarter. As you know, right now the computation is quarter three on quarter two. So we expect the trend to reverse in OEMs in quarter four.
Okay. Sir, going forward, do you see, you have also said that you have taken some pricing correction in the export market to gain some market share. So what is your view or your strategy going forward in near term? Will you further, do such kind of action to further augment your market share?
I think we have taken a very minor kind of correction, so it's not that it is a long-term strategy. We are satisfied with the kind of pricing and the margins that we are getting. Raw material cost is also going to be stable, so we expect more stability in export pricing as well as volumes going forward.
Okay. Sir, what is the volume growth you are expecting in the export market for the next year?
Next year planning we are still undergoing, but it will be robust and it will be higher than what we will plan for the domestic market. Our strategy is to kind of double the export business from wherever we are in about 3 years' time. So you can understand that it will be an aggressive plan.
Okay. Sir, one more bookkeeping question. I just missed the cash or liquid investment numbers as of Q3 FY24, if you have shared that number earlier.
No, we didn't specifically share the number. There's no cash and liquid assets investment. We only had small amount of money which is in transit, cash in transit. Otherwise, we didn't invest anything in liquids.
Okay, thank you, sir. Sir, what can you share? What is the utilization levels across different segments?
The capacity utilization, you mean?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so it is around everywhere. It is around 75% to 80%, barring truck bus radial at Halol, which is running at about 95%.
Okay. Sir, my last question regarding how are you seeing the demand scenario in export market in near term across the segments?
So as I said, the headwind in Europe is there and it's likely to continue for some more time. We don't see that reversing soon. And other markets such as Latin America, in US we are going to launch two of our categories, so that's going to give us incremental growth. We are already present with Agri Radial in US, that's growing fine. Our base is of course very small. In other legacy markets of Africa and Middle East, etc., there is not much of an issue in terms of headwind. So overall I would say it will be similar to what we are experiencing in this year.
Okay. So, sir, generally, what would be the, is the dealer inventory levels are at the, comfortable levels as per your requirement, or it is on a higher side currently in export markets?
No, so, the downstocking is happening. I think it will peter out, but the overall demand level will not improve. So maybe it will stabilize, the input and output will stabilize. The downstocking is more or less, we have seen a couple of quarters of downstocking. So I don't think there's much of downstocking that will happen further in retail.
Okay, Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you for taking my question and all the best, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Sandeep Raj from Aquilus Capital Growth Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good evening. Am I audible?
Yeah.
Yeah, hi. So I wanted to ask regarding this tweet Mr. Harsh Goenka tweeted a few hours ago. So could you throw some light on that tweet?
You mean the Tesla one?
Yeah, exactly.
So it's not from India. It's one of our international markets where we have fitted our super premium range, which is the CX 4 Drive, which is also available in India. And that has been fitted on a Tesla, so he tweeted about that. This range is essentially meant for the super luxury range of Mercedes, BMW, Audi, etc., where we have about 90% coverage, which I mentioned in the opening remark. So it's one of those tires which has got fitted, and he tweeted about it.
Okay. Which country is it, if I may ask?
It's Dubai.
Okay. Okay. Perfect. That's all from me, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aditya Rathi from Aequitas Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity. So my question is around the freight cost as of now, given the current crisis. How do we expect this to affect the margins in the coming quarter?
You're referring to export freight, right?
Yeah. Export and import both will get impacted, right? So is there any significant impact on our margin because of this?
Okay. No, both will get impacted because overall ocean freight rates have gone up. But the freight rates have gone up more towards the western side of India, towards Europe, North America, and Latin America, and less of Southeast Asia and China to India. Raw materials come from the other side, okay, where the freight rate impact is not so much. But on the export side, it has gone up. We believe it is temporary in nature. Okay. It may have some impact on our realization wherever we have CIF contracts. Okay. And we will pick up the cost to the extent that we already have an arrangement on CIF basis. It will have some impact. We are not yet quantified. We are hoping it is more short-term in nature. But we'll give an update maybe by end of this quarter in case it has any material impact.
I'd just like to add, the impact is mostly on the European routes. For LATAM and US, the impact is not that much.
Okay. Got it. Thank you, sir. That was it from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mitul Shah from DAM Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on a very strong performance. Sir, I have two questions. First one is on export side. As you highlighted, Europe is under stress. But apart from Europe, which other geographies do you see would be reviving or would be a key growth driver going forward in the next one to two years?
Yeah. So barring Europe, to be honest, most of the other geographies are playing out fine. As I mentioned, in the US, we are yet to launch, so that growth will come forward, start coming in from a zero base from quarter one, which is passenger car tires and truck bus radial. Our agri radial business in the US is doing very well, again, on a small base, so there is no problem there. In LATAM, in all the countries, we're pretty strong in LATAM as well. We are not seeing any kind of headwind there on truck bus radial, agri radial. Agri radial, there is some headwind in the OEMs, but not too much. Two-wheeler, everywhere, we sell a lot of two-wheeler in LATAM as well, so we are not seeing too much of a disruption there. In the traditional markets of Africa, Middle East, etc., Southeast Asia, so there's not too much of a change even there. So it's business as usual in most of the parts, barring Europe, where there's a headwind.
Any regulatory change indication from any of these geographies, or we are hearing about tariff hike by U.S. on the import tires from Asian countries? Anything on this?
So we have heard about U.S. looking at imports from Thailand, but there is no concrete information there. There's a possibility that they may restrict imports from Thailand in some time. that will be a positive development for our business, but we have no confirmation of that, nor has a decision been taken.
My second question on replacement side, within all these segments, which segment do you see to be more promising? Apart from two-wheeler, three-wheelers, where we have seen 20% plus growth, but among this PCR, TBR, and tractors and OTR, which is segment do you see?
So I think passenger car tires is looking promising because the OEMs have had a terrific year, and they it's on the back of another good year last year. So those demands will now show up in the replacement market. We expect growth to be robust. Second interesting part of the replacement market is the increase in saliency of premium tires, which is the higher rim sizes. And we are seeing very good traction of our premium range, which I mentioned, Sport Drive, Sikora Drive, SUV, Cross Drive, which is an all-terrain tire which we have launched. And this cover all the vehicles that we have on the Indian roads, including super luxury models. So the margin profile is very good in these higher rim size tires. So overall growth, premiumization, investment by the government in roads, trend of customers to travel longer distances with their families and friends. You have seen SUVs being 50% of the OEM sales this year. So we are quite bullish about our market share aspiration in the passenger car tire segment. And a lot of investment is happening in R&D, and we'll continue to invest in marketing, which, as I mentioned, has been highest in the industry and will continue it at that level.
So lastly, on off-highway, in terms of what is our strategy and outlook in terms of off-highway export point of view?
So off-highway, off-highway is following the same pattern, doing well in Latin America, US, growing in Europe, but it could have grown faster had the recession not been there. The second point is we have decided to upgrade the product mix of off-highway to steel radial also. Very small portion of the off-highway tires are steel radials now. A significant portion of that will be steel radial in the next 12 to 15 months, which will enhance the margin profile of the off-highway tire exports.
Gaining market share is relatively tough, or can be considered similar to other segments?
In off-highway, you mean international markets?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, it depends on market access. To be very honest, we really don't, look at, we have a pricing strategy. If we have access to the market through a good distribution partner, we can have the volume plans met easily. If we don't have a very good distribution partner, whatever pricing we do, the market share will never come. So I think more important than pricing is the quality of distribution partner, which is what we are focusing on.
Thanks a lot and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vishal from Swan Analytical Instruments Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question again, sir. In terms of exports, we have seen that in 9 months, we have grown by almost export revenue has grown by around 6%. Is this number correct, sir?
YTD, you mean?
Yes, YTD.
Okay, I'll just have that checked. Meanwhile, if you have another question, you can ask.
Yes. So, going forward, what measures you will take when you say that you will double exports in next 2 years, what measures you will take in terms of that will drive this growth? Which segment will drive this growth, or which region do you plan, think that will drive this growth?
So three regions, Europe, US, Latin America, three categories, agri radial, passenger radial, truck bus radial to a lesser extent, but truck bus radial also. And in some specific geographies, two-wheelers also. So that's the product market combination. What steps we are taking, it will call for investment in new product development, which is very specific to the specific geographies. what sells in Europe won't sell in LATAM and vice versa. So that plan is already on. We have a five-year roadmap for that. Second is consumer outreach in local markets. It will be initially mostly through the channel and through digital channels. So we are going to transfer our digital capabilities to these markets as well initially. And we are going to make investments like we have made investment in cricket. Likewise, if in Europe it is going to be football, we'll go behind football. In U.S., if it is baseball, we'll go after baseball, but after we get a certain scale, not in the initial days. So it will be a replacement market play in these geographies for these product markets.
Okay. Okay. Sir, what is the current regional mix in exports?
Okay. I'll go back to your first question, which I left unanswered. YTD value growth is about 14%. YOY.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Your question was, what is the... Yeah. So it is fairly balanced. I think at this moment, the largest region will be LATAM. LATAM, and it's fairly balanced. LATAM, Africa, Europe is also pretty big. U.S. is small for us. U.S. is a growing market. Only AgriRadial is selling there. Southeast Asia is small for us. So if you ask what are the top two, three regions, then it is LATAM, Middle East plus Africa, and Europe.
Okay. And how do you plan that this will change over a period of next 2 years?
So U.S. will be the big market that will come into our portfolio. As we launch the passenger radial and truck bus radial, we would expect U.S. to be as big or maybe bigger than LATAM or Europe.
Okay. Okay. Sir, my last question is regarding after this ODR expansion, where I think you would be expanding the capacity to 165 ton per day. What is the next phase you are planning post that?
So we are currently at 105 tons per day, and we will reach about 160 tons per day in the next phase of expansion. We'll focus on capacity utilization of 160. When we reach about 80-85% capacity utilization, we will plan the next phase. And the five-year roadmap for the product lineup, etc., is ready. So we will trigger the next activity when our capacity utilization reaches a proper level.
Okay. Sir, what can you share the five-year roadmap? Some highlights on, product planning.
So rough idea. The product planning is like this. We have about 700-750 SKUs. We would like it to expand to about 1,500 SKUs. And we are not going to follow. We are going to leapfrog on the emerging segments. For example, there's a tracks, which is an emerging segment, so we jumped onto it. The emerging segments are very profitable in the first 3 to 5 years, and then gradually, when the volume increases, the profitability goes down. So that's more or less the plan, because now we have got a significant exposure for sufficient length of time in Europe and also to a lesser extent in U.S. So we are catching those early opportunities, and we are launching these number of SKUs. This year, we would have launched about close to 150-plus SKUs. So that's the plan. We have a five-year roadmap on that. Forestry is another area where we'll get into, for example. We have already launched some tires in those range. So that plan is ready. The triggering of capacity will happen when utilization reaches a certain level.
Great, sir. Sir, my last question, I know it will be too premature, but in next 5 years, do you plan to reach this capacity of ODR somewhere around 500 or TPD?
I wish it comes true. So we'll be very happy if we do that.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you for taking my question and all the best, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
No, thank you very much for your questions. I think the way you ask the questions, it helps us to look inwards and also raises some interesting opportunities in our mind. So thank you very much for the participation. I hope you are satisfied with our answers and see you again next quarter.
On behalf of Emkay Global Financial Services, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.